Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, I was wondering, if you ever wrote a 17-minute song, what one artist would you definitely include?
Easy, Sam. Her name starts with a Stevie and ends with a Nyx.
Okay, we are here in our respective basements, which is the way recording is going to be for a little while. Here on Rockin' the Suburbs, in the suburbs of Northern Virginia. I'm Jim Lenihan. I'm in Ashburn, Virginia.
I am Patrick Foster in Falls Church, Virginia.
And I'm intern Sam Lisker, and I'm in Oakton, Virginia.
There we go. So just to give everyone a sense how we live up to the brand, I think.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
We rock the suburbs.
That's
hard.
Right. So we are all apart, but we've had a chance to hear some new music lately, and there was one song in particular that caught Patrick's attention, because I think as you described it to me, it was like, I can't remember what you said exactly, but it was like as if like Michelangelo suddenly, you know, chiseled a new statue, right?
Right. He's been kind of hanging around for a few years, doing caricatures in public square, you know, selling them for money at the carnival or whatever.
Right.
Because Dylan's touring, you know, he tours a lot. I'd say it's Bob Dylan, so I should clarify, folks. Actually, hold on one sec. Before we start, folks, I did something special today because I had a minute to do a favor for my family. I've been doing some yard care work, and I was very careful. I did go into a store, but I had a mask on and, you know, followed all this social distancing procedures and mm-hmm. was careful to sanitize. And I tell you what I wanted to do. I wanted to get a beer that I used to, the first beer I used to ever drink when I listened to Dylan, like at the beginning of my life. So you guys on the video are going to get an extra special treat.
Oh, boy.
So here it is, man. I got myself a Budweiser Tall Boy, because that's what
that's
I used to
awesome.
Always drink. So here we go. Tall Boy for Dylan and all those nights riding around in the car listening to Dylan and drinking Tall Boys. But yeah, you know, Dylan has been active. He's been on tour, but he's careful about the records he releases now. You know, he's had many phases of his career. He had a comeback in the 90s, he had a comeback in the 80s, he had a comeback in the 70s, and had a motorcycle accident in the 60s after he kind of invented a lot of forms of rock and roll. But I think he chose the Kennedy assassination, and by all accounts, this song was recorded at least 5 years ago, maybe eight, if you, you know, look at some of the authoritative sources. But I think the Kennedy assassination is central to his life and central to many musicians that, you know, he invented and that came up around the time that you know, he was making rock and roll, and also a time of incredible cultural and social upheaval in this country. And to release it at this time because he felt maybe some of those same kind of currents were stirring right now with the pandemic we're living through, with this, you know, incredible upheaval with the current political situation and everything. I think Bob maybe just felt like, wow, this reminds me of, you know, some of the things people were feeling and saying in November 1963. And again, he just put this song down at some point. But you know, like you said, Jim, it is like a master artist who'd been working on something that he thought was pretty good and just maybe felt the time was right to give it to people.
It was a dark day in Dallas, November 63, the day that would live on in infamy. President Kennedy was a riding high, good day to be living and a good day to die. He'd led to the slaughter like a sacrificial lamb. He said, wait a minute, boys, you know who I am. Of course we do, we know who you are. Then they blew off his head while he was still in the car. Shot down like a dog in broad daylight. Was a matter of timing, and the timing was right. You got unpaid debts, we've come to collect. We're gonna kill you with hatred, without any respect.
The song is called Murder Most Foul, And as you mentioned, it's about the Kennedy assassination ostensibly, but then it goes off and recounts a lot of other things that have happened since then, right? So I took it to be sort of like that was the turning point for America, right? Like if you said, and I think others have said this too, it was like sort of a moment where America lost its innocence.
That's right.
Or something, right?
Yeah, and absolutely.
So then he sort of then recounts a lot of other things that have happened since then, but you know, sort of large and small, some of them very small, right? Like other bands and musicians and things like that. It's
quite a few.
It's really interesting. But before we get into it too much, I will just say it comes off like a smart man's "We Didn't Start the Fire."
Yes, that's a great way to put it, Jim. Yes.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
All right.
And Sam, I'm interested in your take on this song because, you know, when we originally were talking about doing this, I mean, the record's been out for a couple of weeks now, and I mean, it's, what, 17 minutes? So it takes a while to kind of get through it a few times. How did you take it as a wide-ranging music fan and as someone of a completely different generation, who happens to be very involved in politics and media?
Right.
What are your general impressions of the song?
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I heard it, I didn't really know what to think about it because I wasn't quite sure why Bob Dylan would release a song about the Kennedy assassination now. I'm pretty sure people were remembering the Kennedy assassination in 2013, not in 2020. It's obviously something that a lot of people still think about, case in point with this song. But then when I looked into the lyrics, I discovered that the Kennedy assassination was a moment when America stood still. It was live on TV, it was captured on film, and like you said, Jim, America lost its innocence after this. And I think he chose to release it during the current pandemic that we're in, because right now the world is literally standing still. And with America being a service-oriented economy, as this pandemic is going on, there's really nothing we can do until this pandemic finally subsides.
Well said.
That
Sam.
Is very well said. I think that's a really good point. You read about the Kennedy assassination and how everything just sort of stopped. Even NFL games, I think, weren't played for a week.
Yep.
Right. So
wow.
There was sort of a there was that sort of like, just put everything on pause for a little bit. Let's take stock in ourselves. And I think that's a lot of what people are doing today. So I think it's a really good comparison. You know, the other thing that comes, it's also interesting because this was also right in the time period where he was coming up as an artist too. So,
yes.
You know, it's funny. It's like he's part of that story in some way, although he doesn't reference himself in this song at all, does he?
No, he does not.
But he talks about, I like this, you know, there's a line right there where he says, "Hush, little children, you'll understand the Beatles are coming and they're going to hold your hand."
Yeah.
So, you know, and it is interesting, you know, right after the Kennedy assassination in 63, you know, he had the Beatles and Beatlemania in 64. And it was sort of, in some ways, even though they were British, it was sort of a rebirth for America, right? And
really?
It was like a whole, it was kind of a new beginning. And I don't think I'm overstating it. Like, I think culturally that was a big moment where we sort of got our feet under ourselves again, right? It felt good again, right?
It's such a great point. And I think it's the other huge, you know, part of this song is that, like you said, there was tragedy and there was also a fairly quick sense of new life and new growth when the Beatles played on the Ed Sullivan Show. And we were recently talking about Adam Schlesinger from That Thing You Do. That movie itself is rooted in that innocence and that exuberance. You know, when the Beatles played on Ed Sullivan, it killed an entire generation of folk singers who used to have acoustic guitars, right?
Wow.
And who were following, many of them in New York anyway, following in Dylan's footsteps, right? They were singing Peter, Paul, and Mary and Joan Baez songs and strumming those things on college campuses. And when and Roger McGuinn of the Byrds, who's a great example of this, he was a folky with a 12-string guitar and then saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, then sold his guitar and bought an electric guitar, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when Hard Day's Night came out, not too much longer after that, he was like fully in on rock and roll and folk rock. And also, I'll tell you one other genre that really surprised me. I was, you know, reading a book recently on California surf rock, instrumental surf rock, Dick Dale's Offspring and the Ventures and all that stuff that happened in the early 60s, 62, 63. But another thing that killed surf rock was the Beatles. You know, no longer was it okay to just play up, you know, so people could dance, you know, play twangy Fender reverb instrumentals. You had to write songs and, you know, you had to have melody and you had to be, you know, have longer hair and dress different. And it was just a fascinating 1-2 punch in American culture, the Kennedy assassination and then, you know, the Beatles on Ed Sullivan and Hard Day's Night.
What else struck you in this song? I mean, there's a lot here to mine.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot to unpack. I mean, and Patrick, I definitely want to get your perspective on this. Wolfman Jack is referenced in this song a lot. And I'm going to be real. I had no idea who Wolfman Jack was until I looked into these lyrics. Why would Dylan drop Wolfman Jack so many times in this track?
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I think it's such a great observation, Sam. To me, the best part of the song, or one of my favorite couplets anyway, I mean, again, it's like, you know, the Iliad, man. You can listen to it a lot of times and get something different every single time. But
yeah,
the sort of the closing quartet of the first section is...
greatest magic trick ever under the sun. Perfectly executed, skillfully done. Wolfman, oh wolfman, oh wolfman, howl. Rub-a-dub-dub, it's a murder most foul.
One thing I took from this song, and I think all the song references, and I gotta say, Stevie Nicks made it in, which is pretty great.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Warren Zevon's in here, Jim. Desperados Under the Eaves is in this song as well. I think the other subtext to this is that music heals our tragedies and our greatest fears. And, you know, if we think we're the first person to have a fear or feel an emotion, there might be somebody else who's done it and expressed it. And that always makes you feel better, you know, when you know it's not just you in it alone. So I think that's the other thing that's so incredible about this song. And one other thing I'll say, too, is that as a Dylan fan myself, you know, if you look at his career, he always was, you know, very, very symbolistic. Like he would never explicitly name people. He would, you know, he would write songs like Hard Rain's Gonna Fall or The Times They Are Changing. He would never name anybody specifically, you know, even into the, Desolation Row and, the Christian albums and even all the way up to 83 on Infidels when he wrote Joker Man, which is one of the most obvious, you know, Middle Eastern political songs you could ever write. He never named a single person. You know, he talked about a Joker man and he talked about idols with iron heads and he never was specific. But here he takes it absolutely to the other extreme and gets so incredibly specific with every single reference that marks kind of a, you know, a different phase in his career, too. And, you know, we know Bob is as old as time at this point, you know, the way I look at it, he's been around forever. And you know, in some ways it seems like a very wizened sort of guy you would climb up to the top of the mountain to see kind of reflecting and writing notes on, you know, all the things he remembers. And for that, we should be thankful.
Yeah, yeah. And going off of that, you mentioned how he doesn't like to explicitly name drop a lot of people in his songs, but in this one he makes an exception.
Tons.
Now, yeah, and obviously, you know, this assassination happened over 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So I wonder, had he made a song about it, say, a year after, 2 years, would it be the same 17-minute song that we just heard, or would it be a little bit more dumbed down?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sam. Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't have been because I think that the song, the Kennedy assassination, is just a jumping off point for this song. It's about that, but it's really not.
Well, you know, that's right, but it's also, you know, tangled up in the entire song as you go through it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he talks about Jack Ruby's strip club and at one point he talks about a place Jim and I have been, Deep Ellum in Dallas, you know, where you got to keep your money in your shirt. And if you're a blackface singer, you know, you're going to get hurt. And you know, there's a lot of undercurrents about, and you're right, Jim. But it all comes back to like that trigger moment where maybe we can now, like, we lost our innocence. Now we can release our real feelings and, you know, racism and, you know, the civil rights movement. all exploded after that. And like you said, guys, Dylan is part of this story. I mean, you know, he was at the March on Washington. He was right there next to Martin Luther King and Joan Baez singing into the the microphones. And, you know, I'm a little disappointed that the Eagles and Billy Joel are in here. You know,
I was going to mention
Bob's
that.
A little slipping.
I noticed that in there. But so here's my impression of the pop music references and the Wolfman Jack. I want to get back to that real quick because I was just reading these lyrics. And here's my take on it, where he says Wolfman Jack, he's speaking in tongues. He's going on and on at the top of his lungs. Play me a song, Wolfman Jack. And then he goes on to name all these different songs and artists. But Wolfman Jack, of course, was a very popular and influential DJ.
Totally.
Let's go back to the 50s and 60s, certainly, right?
Yeah. And I would say, Sam, while you're home on quarantine, if you got a minute to watch American Graffiti, the original directed by George Lucas, Wolfman Jack plays a huge part in that movie.
So that's
I'll have to check that out.
That's where I became familiar with him. But he also, I mean, he was still around even when we were kids, Patrick.
Oh,
I mean,
hell
some
yeah.
form as a personality. But, you know, to me, he did have a really unique style. He sort of had that over the top DJ style, and so this idea of going on and on at the top of your lungs fits with what he did. But also what he's I think trying to say here, there's my interpretation at least, is that when you talk about sort of music healing the soul, he's like a preacher, he's like a minister, right?
Yes.
And when he's speaking in tongues, it's sort of like he's talking to the youth of America in a way that the older generation can't understand, right?
Wolfman Jack, he's speaking in tongues. He's going on and on at the top of his lungs. Play me a song, Mr. Wolfman Jack. Play it for me in my long Cadillac. Play me that only the good die young. Take me to the place Tom Dooley was hung. They say James Infirmary in the court of King James. If you want to remember, you better write down the names. Play it at James 2. Play it rather go blind. Play it for the man with a telepathic mind. Play John Lee Hooker. Play Scratch My Back. Play it for that strip club owner named Jack. Guitar Slim going down slow. Play it for me and for Marilyn Monroe.
And so then that's where all these songs come into play. It's sort of like many of them, even if they're just kind of throwaway pop songs, I think he gives sort of equal credit to that as far as the deeper stuff, right? Because the idea that the music will hit you in different ways, but it's all valid in some regard, right?
Totally, Jim. I think it's a great point. And I think, you know, if you were 12 or 13 years old in 1955 or 56 when Wolfman Jack and also rock and roll started up, especially if you're a huge fan in 58 or 59, and by the time it was 63, you were 18 or 19, and those are super formative years. But that music, you know, that Wolfman Jack played was really the music of your youth and why you fell in love with rock and roll. I mean, John Lennon hung on to that, you know, till his last breath. He swore by those 50s, 45s and never really backed off from that. But I think that's a great subtext. It's a rich, a deeply rich song and fantastic to listen to. And I'll tell you the other thing that's so interesting to me. It's a really good melody. And it has to be because it can't go on for 60 minutes and not annoy the hell out of you if the lyrics and the melody aren't pretty good. Mm-hmm. And also the subtlety of the band with just the violin and the piano and that bass drum occasionally and Dylan's voice and maybe a few, you know, nylon guitar strums here and there is very tasteful. It's very restrained yet extremely powerful.
Musically, I wasn't sure what to expect when I saw that it was 16 minutes long. I was like, I don't know what this is going to be like, but I was really kind of mesmerized by it.
It's very mesmerizing. The playing is fantastic.
It's similar in a way that Tangled Up in Blue is not as long, but it's very repetitive musically, but you never get sick of it. In a way, it's kind of like a campfire song almost, like you would just strum your guitar and just sort of like,
and just,
you know, keep it going. Words would keep coming out, right?
Yeah. Those mushrooms I ate are really starting to affect me right now. But yeah, it's fantastic, and I hope everybody, you know, listens to it. I've been enjoying listening to it once a day for the past 3 days.
Once a day, wow! I applaud you.
Well, at some point,
he's got time on his hands.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Put my earbuds in and work in the backyard for a little bit.
All right. Well, cool. That was good. Any other last thoughts, Sam?
No, I mean, this is the first super duper long song I've listened to, I think, since Yes's album from the 70s. So, yeah, it was nice to listen to a long form track like this, and at the same time also get a little bit of a history lesson and also relate it back to what we're experiencing now. So it was a different listening experience for me, and he's a brilliant songwriter, no question about it. And the world's lucky to have him.
if we get through all this and we get the chance, you know, that he comes around again, Sam, we got to take in and see him.
Cool.
I've seen him a few times and took a couple of my kids to see him too. So I'd love to take you if we get the chance, because it's one of those things like, hey man, Paganini's playing, you know, one last concert. He's 93, but at least you get to see Paganini Miles. I got to see Miles when he was near the end of his life, and that was fantastic. So,
oh man, that must have been cool.
Yeah, just to be in the room with him is a good thing. So,
All right.
So thanks, Bob. You've definitely given us something to think about and talk about while we've been here.
Two quick things unrelated to this conversation, but just related to the fact that we're all together on Zoom right now. First thing I noticed is that you guys have way better microphones than I have. So they look really, I mean, at least visually, they look really cool.
Yeah, it's mine's the AT2020 USB. It's made by Audio Technica. I bought this mic when I was making a lot of YouTube videos, and it's fantastic. Wow. It's a really, really good USB microphone.
Sam, have you thought about going back to doing some more YouTube videos while you're at home?
Believe me, I have. I actually just bought myself a network extender for my room because my room is like a dead zone right now. So this is the nicest video conference I have had probably since living in this house. So
nice. It looks great, man.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Second thing I wanted to show you guys, I'm going to turn this computer camera around and show you that this has been my podcast workspace, not my day job workspace. There's a different spot here, but my podcast workspace over the last couple of weeks, Patrick, and you'll see many dead soldiers here. If you look, right?
Goodness.
Yeah.
You got to tweet that to Lost Rhino and be like,
I got to clean that
thanks,
up.
Thanks, Lost Rhino, for getting me through this.
That's right. I got to clean this table up.
Right behind my other wall looks very similar to that. Yeah. That's beautiful stuff. Now, I will say this, Sam. Are you working a full 8 hours? Do you have stuff to do?
I am. Yeah. So I've been doing a lot of stories for DC News I've been doing a lot of news related stories or a lot of politics related stories bringing them back to Washington DC for the company that I work for. And it's been totally manageable from home. Although, and I've said this a million times, the best part about being in news is working out in the field and going up and talking to people. And unfortunately with this, can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of Zoom and Skype conversations.
Well, I would suggest, I heard there's a podcast that every Friday they're doing like a jamboree thing. And that could be a story that you could, I don't know what the political angle is there. I can't speak to that, but just think about it. Just think.
Yeah.
About
I'll have to give that some thought.
Might be the Budweiser talking, but I like Budweiser.
And I heard that the next Friday at the close of the, you know, 2 hour show, that Patrick, you're going to cover Murder Most Foul, right?
Shoot, I need to actually clear my plans for Friday and come to this.
That's right. You just hit that last chord and then just fall over. That's it.
Right off the stage.
That's right. Okay. Well, we'll talk again tomorrow, Patrick, you and I.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about other March new music. that we have discovered.
And like we were talking about, it's great to have a topic that's a little brighter today, even though it does involve death and murder. We're getting
that's
there.
That's good.
Very slowly.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tomorrow we'll have all upbeat, happy songs. I make no promises, but we'll try.
I'm excited. I came across something I'm really eager to talk about.
Okay, cool. All right. If anyone else would like to comment on the Bob Dylan song or Bob Dylan in general or what have you, if you want to pick apart the song, you want to annotate it for us, you know?
Love that.
We'd love that.
Make your own video for the song. There's no video as far as I know.
Email rock@suburbspod.com or call 612-440-1984. There you go. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Please visit suburbspod.com because Sam does such a great job.
Please do.
Keeping
that
going.
I love writing articles on it, especially now. It totally lifts my mood.
And also at suburbspod.com, you can sign up for our newsletter, which you should do. Mm-hmm. And you can buy merchandise, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Whatever merchandise is left after your kids have, you know, taken what they want.
Apparently Gigi's taking a lot of shirts. She's like, wow, these are really cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I know. They're not free.
Shipping is only $5.
That's right.
That's what I hear.
$5 for any package?
Wow. That's right.
What a deal.
Very good. Okay. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm intern Sam.
And take care, guys, and we'll talk to everyone tomorrow.
They missed you for me and that old ever moon. Play anything goes at Memphis in June. Play lonely at the top and lonely at the brave. Play it for Houdini spinning around his grave. Play Jelly Roll Morton, play Lucille. Play Deep in a Dream and play Driving Wheel. Play Moonlight Sonata in F sharp. And the key to the highway for the king of the harp. Play Marching Through Georgia in Dumbarton's drums. Play Darkness and Death Will Come When It Comes. Play Love Me or Leave Me by the Great Bird Powell. Play the Bloodstained Banner, play Murder Most Foul.
Might be the Budweiser talking, but I like Budweiser.